The book of Ezekiel. Amen. If you happen to be here, say amen. 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 Good to be here this morning. I appreciate all the good singing, the good congregational singing this morning. Or to sing from your heart when it's time to sing. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm glad I have a precious friend today, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ezekiel chapter 14. Let's begin to read in verse 12. The Bible says, "The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon that land, and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall neither sons nor daughters, and they shall deliver." There's what I was looking for. Have you ever noticed how a word disappears from you sometimes? Man, am I the only one that happens to? The Bible said right here, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence unto that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness." You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for these dear people that have come, and Lord, it's preaching time now, and Lord, we just pray that you'd touch us and anoint us afresh this morning while we might preach. And Lord, not a message that we've worked up on our own, but one that you've given us, and that, Lord, that might help these people this morning. And we pray that, Lord, if there's one here that's lost, we do want them to get saved. We want them to get saved before, not only before you come to gather the church, we want them to get saved now. And Lord, where they can be beneficial and that to the cause of Christ. And Lord, I pray we'd be beneficial to the cause of Christ. If there's one here that has a need, I pray that you'd meet that need this morning. Lord, we're just so happy to be in the house of God. And Lord, I pray that you might come by and meet with us this morning now in the preaching hour. Stir hearts. And Lord, I pray folk would find help in the Word. Lord, again, I ask you to touch us, anoint us afresh, clear our mind and our thoughts. Put a hedge about us this morning. And Lord, we'll certainly tell you that we love you and thank you for loving us and Lord for saving us. Save that sinner's nearest tale. For these things in Jesus' name we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. You have to understand what's taking place here in the book of Ezekiel. If you go back to the first part of this chapter, you'll find out that there was people in that involved in idol worship. In verses 1 through 11, you'll find that they were involved in idol worship, but yet they would come unto the man of God and say, "Tell us what God has said." So it's kind of a hypocritical and that worship. So God in verse 12 begins to tell Ezekiel, he begins to tell him, there's coming a time when I'm going to send and that judgment's up on the land. If you go to verse 21, he just basically in that narrows everything down. And that to the sword and the famine and noisome beast and pestilence. And he deals with those four judgments that's coming upon the nation of Judah and the nation of Israel. But he mentions three men in these verses over and over and over again. He calls them by name twice, two different times. But as we read, he says, if these men, he said, though these three men were in it, he said they wouldn't be able to deliver sons and daughters, but they would deliver themselves by their righteousness. And I begin to consider these three men, and I look at these three men, and I want to preach a message this morning. And I hope it's a very timely message on living upright in an upside down world. Now let me ask you this morning, would you agree that the world is upside down? Would you have to agree that, man, we're in turmoil, just not only in our nation, but this whole world is turned upside down. It's been upside down for years and years and years. It's just coming to fruition now. We're seeing things take place that should have been handled not a long time ago. And when I say handled, listen, when you know the only thing that's going to change folks' heart, you know the only thing that's going to fix everything that's going on in our nation today, it's not better laws, it's not more laws. It's none of those things that's going to fix things. Jesus is the only thing that can fix things. He's the only one that can fix what's going on in this world. You present Christ to people and get them saved. And I'm telling you what, when they have a change of heart, they'll have a change of character and a change of attitude, amen, toward everything that's going on. But this morning, what are we supposed to do when the world's turned upside down? How are we supposed to live? I'm going to be honest with you. I've had to quit watching the news because, I know that I don't watch a lot of it, but I've had to quit watching all of it because I just get mad. I mean, I get angry and I get mad, and then it begins to bull up some things. And I told somebody the other day, I'm going to start using some words that I quit using years ago. Because I'm mad and I'm angry and my flesh gets wound up. I hate to see our nation in the shape that it's in. But the reason we're there is because folk have rejected God. That's what it all boils down to, friend. You can't have peace in a nation when they have rejected God and the peace giver. I don't know how we got there, but ain't it good this morning? Amen. But in these upside down times, how are we supposed to live upright? And the Bible talks about these three men. Why did God choose these three men out of everybody? Out of Abraham that God chose to make Israel out of. Out of Moses who he chose to lead the nation of Israel up out of the land of Egypt, and Joshua. And then Enoch. I mean, Enoch, the Bible talks about in Genesis chapter 5 that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. And Hebrews 11 says that he had this testimony that he pleased God. But he chose Noah, Daniel, and Job. I believe these were three men that lived upright in an upside down world. And I believe we can learn something from these three men. Take your Bible this morning and go over to Genesis chapter 6. While you're going to Genesis chapter 6, the Bible tells us in the book of Philippians that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. If we've ever been, I don't know how in our nation if it's ever been this bad, but friend, I'm telling you, we are crooked and perverse as a nation, and we're to shine as lights in this world. When folks see us, they need to say, man, there's something different about her. There's something different about him. I don't know what's different about him. But living upright in an upside down world. Look at Noah right in Genesis chapter 6, look in verse 5. And the Bible said, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Well, look in verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You ever wonder why Noah, out of everybody that was on the face of the earth at this time, that Noah found grace? You know, the Bible tells us in the next verse, in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. I'm going to deal with that. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Look in Genesis 7 and verse 1. And the Bible said, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. When God looked down from heaven, he seen something different about Noah. Can I say this morning, the first thing that, listen, if we're going to live upright in an upside down world, is you can't do it without Christ. You got to be saved. Listen, he's the only hope and help that you're going to have. And I assume as I look across the house, I hope everybody in here is saved. I don't know your salvation, but you do. And let me encourage you today that if you've never been saved and become a son of God or daughter of God, what was it he said over there in the book of John? I believe it was, but as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I can't get away from that this morning. You got to trust him, amen. You can't live right in this world without him. But look at Noah. I want you to look at the kind of time that Noah was living in. Look what it said. Look what your Bible said. It was a time of wickedness. And it was not only a time of wickedness in verse 5, but it was a time that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was on evil continually. I mean, they were wicked men. They done wicked acts. They done wicked things. Their heart wasn't right with God. Their heart thought wrong all the time. I mean, they continually... done wrong and thought wrong and turned against God. Hey, can I ask you a question this morning? When we look at the world and we see them, do we ever feel like that we're just in the survival mode of Christianity? Do we ever feel like that we're having to fight to tell our story? We believe that the world is so wicked and they're so vile and they don't want to have anything to do, and it seems like that persecution is slipping closer and closer into us, and we feel like we get in a survival mode of Christianity. Look at what the Bible said about Noah right here. It said he was not only a just man and perfect in his generations, but Noah walked with God. In the wickedness, and when man's heart was filled on evil continually and the earth was corrupt, listen, Noah had a walk with God. You know how to live upright in an upside down world? You're going to have to start with a walk with God. You're going to have a time of fellowship and have a time of a relationship with the Heavenly Father and with His dear Son. You're going to have a time of prayer. You're going to have a time of, listen, when we crack this book and look at it and say, boy, right here is where I find my wisdom. I pray for wisdom. And then I look and God begins to open this book. But Noah, he walked with God. Can I ask you today, how much of a walk do we have with the Lord today? If you go over and you look, I believe it was at one point in talking about having a walk with God. I believe it was Josiah that they talked about over there in the book of 2 Kings, talked about and that walking and that with God, and the way that they were going to walk with God was to keep His covenant and to keep His word and to do what He wanted. So if we're going to walk with God, you know what hindered Adam's walk with God in the cool of the garden over there in the Garden of Eden? It was sin, wasn't it? You know what hinders our walk with God? Sin. But boy, when we say, Lord, I just want to have a walk with you, and I want to follow you, and I want to do what you want me to do. I just want to do and go the way. But I want to go the way that you want me to go. Listen, as they were corrupted, and listen, our world is corrupt, our nation is corrupt, and people that were around want to have. And let me say this, let me park right here for just a second, if I can. There's a lot of folk around us got a form of godliness, and there's folk that go to church, but boy, they ain't living for the Lord. I'm not saying we got the market cornered on Christianity around here. I'm not saying we got the market cornered on serving God and all those things. But I'm going to tell you, just because somebody tells me they go to church, don't tell me that they're serving God. Don't tell me that they're living for Him. It's what you do outside these four walls that matter, friend. It's what you do when you're at home that matters. It's what you do when you're by yourself and nobody else can see you, nobody else can hear you, nobody else can get in your mind except you and God. That's what matters. Listen, Noah walked, though, in a time when everything was falling down, morally, when he was falling down spiritually, Noah walked with God. How are you going to live upright in an upside down world? How am I going to do it? Going to walk with God. You're going to get your house set in order. Listen, you're going to get things set right in your house. You can't walk with God when there's trash and smut in your house. Do you know that? Say amen right there. Help me out. That's good enough, I guess. Kind of weak, but it'll do. Now, preacher, you meddling. Yeah, I know I'm meddling. It'll be all right. Amen. You can't walk with God when you got trash in your house. You can't walk with God when you listen to the wrong thing and watch the wrong thing and read the wrong thing. You're feeling too much and out of the worldly things up in your mind. And you can't walk with God. Nobody else was living for God, but Noah was going to live for God. Noah was determined. We know the story. Most of us know the story. I'll say it that way. Hey, he must have lived enough for God that he made a difference in Miss Noah. He made a difference in Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives. Hey, they got on the ark, friend. Are we even making enough difference, not only for the world, but what about just our family to see us, to see our walk? He says, well, it don't matter. Hey, listen, how you walk with God is in your heart between you and Him and what you do to serve Him. But then folk begin to see that walk. I believe Noah made a difference. What did the Bible say? He was a preacher of righteousness. Is that not what it said over in the book of 2 Peter, I believe it was? Let me see if I can find that. The Bible said, inspire not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. Bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. I believe as Noah went out there every day and built that ark and done what he was supposed to do, I believe folk looked at him. They looked at that ark that was being built. And I'm preaching a lot between the lines right now, but listen, no doubt some sniggered and some laughed and wondered what that old man was up to. You say, well, what was it be? It had never rained before. The Bible tells us over in the book of Genesis, it had never rained. God watered the earth by mist. It come up out of the ground and it had never rained. You know what? We're warning people to get saved and telling them they need to get saved. Jesus is coming again. Ain't that what we seen in Sunday school this morning? He's coming again. We warn people. Paul said, I'm warning every man. Listen, that he's coming. You're going to meet him in death one day and you need to get ready. And folks say, well, I've heard it all my life that he's coming. And I know most of y'all know what I'm about to say. I had a fella tell me that one time. And he used to call me Reverend, the fella that was. He said, Reverend? He said, I've heard all my life that Jesus is coming. He was probably 65 years old. Listen, in the grand scheme of things, 65 is just a drop in the bucket compared to all of eternity, ain't it? I've heard all my life Jesus is coming. You know what? He's still coming. And folk, as Noah went over there and built that ark and drove them pegs and nails in. And I've often wondered how Noah thought, God told him to build all this. And man, it was a monstrosity of an ark. I don't even know if Noah was a boat builder. I have no idea. But God gave him some plans, didn't he? God can allow you to do what you need to do, even though if it's not what you're good at. Even if you don't know how to do it, God can help you do it. Do you know that? He can help you do it. He can help you win folk to him. He can help you do the job that he calls you for. Noah, I don't know, he might have been a master boat builder for all I know. But what was more important to God was that he was walking with God and he was going to be faithful and be obedient to God. God gave him some plans to build a boat out there and build an ark. And you know what he done? He was faithful to what God had called him to. You know how you're going to be upright in an upside down world? You're just going to have to be faithful in what God called you to do. You're going to have to be faithful to raise your family right. You're going to have to be faithful and that to come to church. You're just going to have to be faithful to live for Him. If He called you to preach, you preach. If you're supposed to teach Sunday school, you teach Sunday school. But you just live faithful for God. That's how we live upright in an upside down world. I believe Noah told everybody, you better get on the boat. It's going to rain. You better get on the boat. What are we supposed to be telling people today? Listen, you're going to face a Savior one day. You're going to face a man called Jesus one day. You're going to have to face God, your Maker, your Creator. You're going to have to face Him one day. How are you going to face Him? I saved or unsaved?
Bible said in Hebrews 10:31 that it is a fearful thing how to fall in the hands of the living God. What do you think Paul said? Warning. Warning every man, because there's danger there. There's danger if you're unsaved. There's danger to our friends and our family and our neighbors in this world that we're living in. So how am I supposed to control myself? Because that's the problem I have the most with. I went out and sat down. I wasn't going to tell y'all this, but I went out and sat down in the swing last night and prayed and just sat there and cried because of the shape of our country. I was still raised of the generation that our nation was something and could be something. And it is something because of Christ. Now, do you understand what do you understand what the overall picture is? Do y'all understand what the overall picture is? And I understand because of our sin, God's going to judge our nation because of abortion and because of sodomy and because of all these great sins that the Bible talks about. God's going to judge our nation. We're not going to get away. You have to understand that. I have to understand that. But do you understand that we're also the nation that carried the lie of the Word of God? And if Satan can get us preoccupied with everything else that's going on in the world, then what's he done? We've hid our light and that under a bushel, hadn't we? If we're preoccupied with what's going on, now I'm not saying don't know what's going on. I'm not saying, just shrug it off, because we need to pay attention out of what's going on so you can have some wisdom and know what to do when you need to do it. But listen, friend, we just need to live upright in an upside down world. Just need to live upright. You know what's going to help folk when they see our life? That we're living upright. Noah had a walk with God, lived for God, was faithful to God, faithful to do his job when nobody else was. Can you imagine? God seen Noah before he told him to build the ark. Right? Then he's got him building an ark out here when nobody else wants to serve God. And can you imagine? Noah's out there building that ark, and then one day Noah gets it done. And God looked down and he seen the faithful Noah in verse chapter 7, verse 1. We read it. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house in the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. He done what he was supposed to do. How do you find out what you're supposed to do? Pray, get in this book, and God will tell you what to do. He obeyed God. Are we telling and are we building in a time when folk are upside down? Number two, he talked about a man by the name of Daniel. Take your Bible and go to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. They're carried off down into the land of captivity in Daniel chapter 1 because of their sin. They've been carried down into the land of Babylon. All of Judah and Israel has been carried off at this time. And they're put... We call it prison, if you'd let me say that, but they have a little freedom here. And these were men of children of the king's house. And the Bible talks about in verse 4 and verse 3, and the king spake, and Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now notice, let me park right here for just a second. Understand, when they got carried off into captivity, they were going to have to learn a new language. They were going to have to learn new ways. They were going to have to learn about new gods. Hello? They were going to have to learn about everything. Listen, they couldn't do the old things that they had done down in Israel. Are you catching on? What would happen today if we were overrun and overtaken and taken away from where we live at, pulled over into a whole other country, into a place that don't even look like home, and said, now here's where you're going to live. This is going to be the food you're going to eat. You're going to learn to talk our language, and you ain't going to serve your God. That's basically what they've told Daniel and his friends and all that they brought down. But I want you to look in verse 8. They've been brought down, and the Bible said in verse 6, let me just start in verse 6. Now among these
were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We know them better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and of Hananiah of Shadrach, and of Mishael of Meshach, and of Azariah of Abednego. I want you to look in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine he drank, which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. In a place, in a foreign land where people did not know God, in a foreign land when they did not care about God, when most of the people that you were carried off from Judah with did not care about God. They were idol worshipers. That's what we've been studying in the book of Jeremiah on Wednesday night. They had done forsook God. They had left God. They wanted nothing to do with the God of heaven, only to come and for Him to bring them up and that out of trouble. When they got in trouble, they wanted nothing to do with God. And here stands a man that was probably 17, 18, 19 years old. And said, I don't want to defile myself with the king's meat. He wanted to please God, didn't he? He knew what the law said. He knew that meat that he was eating or was going to eat, I was going to defile him. You know what the word defile means? It means to make unclean, to pollute, to make dirty. And he said, I don't want to make myself dirty in God's eyes. Well, would to God that Christians would say that today. I want to be clean before God. Now, when you get saved, you get clean. Don't misunderstand that. Our sin gets wiped away, cleaned away. Unto him, Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's our soul. Daniel was talking about his flesh. He said, I don't want my flesh. He said, I don't want to take something into my flesh that's going to make me unclean before God. Can I ask you something this morning? How many of us is trying to stay clean before God? How many of us is doing that? I'm being honest this morning. How many of us is trying to stay clean? Listen, he didn't want to defile himself. Let me ask you something. When you get dirty, do you know you're dirty? When you mow the yard, do you know that you mowed the yard and got dirty? Some of y'all don't mow the yard. My wife ain't mowed the yard even before we was dating. I'd come in down there at Bobby and Linda's house. They're not here to agree with this. But they would put her to mow in the yard, and I'd come down there to pick her up, go on a date, and I'd have to finish mowing the yard before we'd leave. You wasn't going to mow the yard, was you? And ain't mowed the yard since then. That's for sure. Listen, but when we get dirty, sweaty, and nasty, you remember when you was a kid, we used to call them granny beans. They'd get around your neck. You know, you'd have dirt around your neck, then sweat would run down. It'd dry. I mean, always a mess. And I remember my mama said one day, she said, man, she said, I went to town the other day, and we was growed by then. She said, I went to town, and she said, there was a mama that had a dirty kid in there. She said, I was thinking to myself, man, why didn't you clean that kid up? And then she said, I thought to myself, how many times did I take you to town dirty and not cleaned up? I'd say plenty, trust me. I know, we played hard. But listen, you can look and tell when somebody's dirty. You can look at your own self and tell when you need to get cleaned up. You say, what's it matter whether I stay separated? I like that what he said in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What did he tell us to present? They tell us. This thing. You say, well, what really matters is how my relationship, how my heart is with God. I will agree to that. But did you know that folk around you can't tell how your heart is? They can only tell what's on the outside. They can't look on the inside. You say, well, the Bible said, you know, he told, was it Samuel he told over there, you know, for man seeth not as God saith, for God looketh on the heart. And that's right, God can look on the heart, but we can't. Daniel did not want to defile himself with the things of the world. He wanted to be separate. Listen, 17, 18, 19 years old, he wanted to be separate. At a young age, he wanted to be different. You know how to live upright in an upside down world? You got to be different. You got to be different. You got to be different than the rest of everybody else. Listen, you know why? I would like to think, and I hope it is, that this church is different. When folk come into worship, I hope it's different. I don't want nothing worldly in here. I mean, when you come in here, you need to get away from the world. You've got enough world, enough pressures, and enough problems, and enough news coming in on you. But I want it to be different when we come in here. I want to sing them good old hymns. Page 379, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein. You ain't going to get that in the world. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. You ain't going to hear that out there, but you'll hear it in here. But Daniel, he wanted from the very beginning, he purposed in his heart. Have you purposed in your heart to live different? To want to be different like God wants you to be? I don't want to be different for the sake of being different. I want to be different because that's what's going to please God. I want to stay holy. You know, 1 Peter 1:16. A lot of people, a lot of Baptists give up on holiness. I ain't give up on holiness. 1 Peter 1:16, he said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." We're to be holy. We're to be righteous. We're to be different. I know righteous don't. I know righteous ain't because of me. But listen, friend, I'm righteous because of Christ on the inside, and then I've got control over this flesh, and that's what I'm to work on. Daniel said, "I want to eat that meat." You read over here, God had blessed him. And you know what happened? He said, he went to the prince of the eunuchs, and make a long story short, he said, "I want to eat that meat." He said, "Just give us pulse and water to eat and drink. That'd be like green beans and water." How many of y'all would like to just eat green beans all the time? Well, you season them with a little fat. That works out real good. Put about three slices of bacon to a quart jar and it'll work out real good, you know. But that ain't what they were doing. And you know what the prince of the eunuchs said? He said, "Why should I have you boys looking worse than the rest of these?" And Daniel said, "Why don't you just try us for 10 days? He said, "You give us pulse and water to eat and drink, and then in 10 days you look at us. If we don't look better," he said, "then you put us back on that other stuff." And after 10 days, because he determined in his heart that that's what he wanted to do. He didn't want to follow. The Bible said that they were fatter looking and they looked better. And you know, the prince of the eunuchs just took all that other stuff, meat and wine away, and give them pulse and water. I kind of wondered if he didn't do that for everybody else. Well, I bet everybody else hated them boys. They were eating meat, drinking wine, and he got them all down on vegetables and water. You know why? He wanted to do what he could to serve God in an upside down world. Most of y'all know this, but when Brother Caldwell was here, the job that he worked had him working 7 on and 7 off, 12 hours a day, every day. And that meant Sunday too. And he wanted to come to church with his family. He's a preacher, he wanted to come. And by the way, you don't have to be a preacher, just want to come to church. Amen? And it got so bad enough that he got to looking for another job. Because he wanted to come to church. He wanted to serve God. He wanted to do what God had required him to do. He actually started looking for another job. Now, two things happened. When he got on that, he told me this. He said, on the interview that I went for this other company that he was that were talking about hiring him, he said, I went in and sat down. I began to talk to him. And he said that interview was just as dry. And, you know, it's just kind of a matter of fact. And he said, and finally, the fellow that was sitting across the desk asked me, he said, "Why do you want to leave your other job?" And he said, "Because I want to go to church on Sunday." And he said, that old boy lit up like a Christmas tree. And he said, come to find out, the fella interviewing me was a preacher. And so in the meanwhile, while he was interviewing for that other job, the company that he worked for found out that he was looking for another job. Now sometimes that'll cost you your job. Did you know that? When the company you're working for finds out you're looking for another job, they're liable to fire you, so be careful about that. But they come to him and said, "Well, why do you want to leave here and go to work somewhere else?" He said, "Because I want to go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays." And they said, "Is that all?" And he said, "Yeah, that's it." He said, "Oh, we can do that."
I said, you can go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. When it's your shift to work, you just go get up on Sundays, go to church. After church on Sunday, you come to work. You look at what you need to look at. Sunday night, you go back to church. You say, well, that's not convenient. Yeah, but God worked out what was He wanted to do. You know, sometimes you have to put forth an effort to serve the Lord when God opens a door. I mean, do you realize how far, and I know that I'm putting them on a little pedestal this morning. Do you realize they drove 40 minutes to come to this church? 40 minutes to come to church here. And then he would drive 40 minutes back home and then drive another 40 minutes, 50 minutes to go to work. He said, boy, on them Sundays we were hopping. He would take his kids with him and his wife, and they'd get something to eat on the way, and they'd sit in the car while he'd go in and do what he had to do, and then they'd turn around and come right back to church. Why? Determine in his heart. How are you going to live upright in an upside down world? You're going to just have to determine in your heart. This is what we're going to do. We're going to live right. We're going to live good. We're going to live holy. We're going to do what God wants us to do, how God wants us to do it. You find over in chapter 5 about King Belshazzar. God got to writing over there on the plaster of the wall. Hand come out of nowhere. And he's writing on the plaster of the wall. Remember, Belshazzar's having a big party with all the things that come up out of the temple there that Nebuchadnezzar had carried off. And they didn't know what was wrote on the wall. And you say, why are you writing right to left? Because that's the Hebrew language, is wrote right to left. I kind of figured that's why they didn't know what was being wrote on the wall. They couldn't read it. They didn't know. And they said, hey, we remember a feller. Why don't you go get him? And they went and got Daniel. Daniel walked in. And he looked over against the candlestick over there. He said, yeah, I believe I know what that says. And he began to tell. You know the thing about Daniel living upright and upside down? It didn't matter when judgment was coming. He just told them what it said. Sometimes we got to quit worrying about how it's going to affect people. Say, well, they're going to get mad at us or they're going to get tore up at us if we tell them the truth. Just need to tell them the truth. He stood right there in front of King Belshazzar, who could have killed him, and told him, said, tomorrow, you're out of it, O king. You've been, what was it? He said, you've been weighing the balances and found wanting. And he just told him that. We come down in Daniel chapter 6. Turn over there with me. Daniel chapter 6, most of y'all know this story. What's happened? They hated Daniel. Daniel's probably 90 or 95 at this time. You realize he's still serving God. He started out 17, 18, 19 years old, wanted to serve God. He's probably in his 90s at this point by Daniel chapter 6. And you know what? He's still serving God. You know how to live upright in an upside down world. You just got to keep serving God. Bible said, talking about Daniel, there was three presidents that was set up by King Darius. In verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. Reckon how that happened. Reckon how he got an excellent spirit in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Every turn that they looked for something in Daniel to be wrong, they couldn't find it. He was faithful in the kingdom. He was faithful to do his job. He was faithful to serve God. In verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So without reading the rest of it, you know what they said? They said, we know that Daniel goes up in his room every day, and three times a day he opens the windows toward Jerusalem and he prays for Jerusalem and he prays for the nation of Israel, and said, what we'll do is we'll get the king to sign a law that says that only the people can pray and act to the king for the next 30 days. And the king being the king, he said, boy, that sounds good. And so he gets out his ink pen and he puts his name down on the bottom of it, and he signs it and puts his seal on it. And then he remembered, I might not order done that. Look in verse 10 of Daniel chapter 6. This is what is so very important. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, Daniel didn't go pray by happenstance, and Daniel didn't go pray ignorantly, not knowing that this law had been enacted. He went and prayed knowing that the law was enacted.
He went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Even when Daniel knew that he was sure for death and the den of lions was coming, he still done what God wanted him to do. Acts chapter 5, Peter put it like this. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." In spite of adversity and in spite of our life being on the line, we're still to obey God and be found faithful. The third man, how to live upright in an upside down world. This one's a little different. Job. Take your Bible and go to Job chapter 1. We'll not spend a lot of time with him, but we'll look at him a little bit. A lot of y'all know the story of Job. We preached on Job. I've taught Job, been teaching Job in Sunday school when we were having our young adult Sunday school class before all this mess took off. Job lived in a time that was pretty good to start with. But it wasn't the world that turned upside down for Job, but it was his world that turned upside down. So let me ask you this question. How do you live upright when your world turns upside down? Now Job lived for God. I mean, you look in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. You know what that word eschewed means? It means to run away from, to flee from. When Job seen evil coming, he ran away from it. If an evil thought got in his mind, he worked it out. He got it out of there. Boy, if he seen wickedness and evil come, he shied away from it and stayed away from it. Would to God that we would. Job's character in his life from the beginning was one that he wanted to serve God. And the Bible tells us down here that he wanted to serve God, that he had a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. God had blessed him and made him so rich and had placed hedges about him, his family, and everything that he had. You can see it over there in the chapter. God took care of him. When you serve God, I really believe God will take care of you. He may not make you rich. I don't believe in health and wealth, prosperity gospel, but I do believe that what David said, "I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed of begging bread." Stay with me. I know what time it is. Just stay with me because this is important. Living upright in an upside down world. God presented Job to Satan. I often wondered if God would present me. Is my life so sold out to God that he would even say, "Have you considered this in here?" I preach this in revival sometimes in verse 13 where the Bible said, "And there was a day." You know, there comes a day in our life when things get turned upside down. There was a day. And that day begins to talk about everything that goes wrong for Job. I mean, he loses all his finances. Every animal that he had out in the field, either an enemy come and carried them all away, or the fire fell from heaven and burned them all up, burned his servants up. The enemies carried away all his servants, and you would come in and they'd say, "I'm the only one that's escaped to come and tell you." Verse 16 said, "While he was yet speaking, there came another." Look down here in verse 17. "While he was yet speaking, there came also another." Verse 18. "While he was yet speaking, there came also another." I mean, one right after another. The servants come to him and said, "Job, let me tell you what I just seen. You've lost everything." I believe it's in verse 18. You find that servant come and said, "There was a whirlwind come down from heaven and said, 'Your sons and your daughters was in your eldest son's house.' And said that whirlwind fell upon that house and destroyed that house and killed all your children." Now this is all going on at one time. Job loses all his finances and he loses his family all in one day. All in a matter of hours, and probably an hour. I would say in 15 minutes to 30 minutes, Job gets all the news that he has lost everything. You read chapter 2, and you come out here in verse 7, "So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown." Job loses his fitness. He lost his health, didn't he? He loses his wife, which is part of his family. When she comes out there, he's sitting there scraping himself, and that with a potsherd, which is broken pottery, and he's just sitting there scraping himself them bulls and getting some ease off of them to let them just run out, and he's sitting in the ashes. I listen, and she come out and said, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Won't you just curse God and die?"
That's a loving wife, ain't it?
I understand Miss Job lost 10 children. I understand Miss Job has lost all the finances too. But she come out to her husband and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die? You've lived for him all these years, and look at what he's done for you." If you read the rest of chapter 2 and come down through the rest of the book of Job, the half the part of it, you'll find out that he lost his friends also. And it seemed as though in Job's mind that he had lost the Heavenly Father. But if you look in verse 20 of chapter 1, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. When our world gets turned upside down, how are we going to live upright? How are we going to live upright? You know that the rest of everybody else is looking at us. They're watching us and looking at us. You know what Job done? Job was sad. We understand that. We know if you read the book of Job, he was sad and he didn't know why things happened. I'm not sure Job ever learned why everything happened. If he ever understood that God had presented, I don't know if Job knew that or not. And it didn't really matter. Because the Bible said that he shaved his head, fell down to the ground and worshiped. And said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. After his wife came out there in chapter 2 and said, "Won't you just curse God and die?" In verse 10. "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this did not Job sin with his lips. He was still upright and living for God through it all. Job 13, he made this statement. "Though he slay me," he said, "God's going to kill me with this thing. This thing's going to kill me." Because you know, when his friends showed up, they didn't even know Job. They didn't know him. I mean, the grief had taken so much out of him. The sickness had taken so much out of him. He didn't even look like Job. I told my Sunday school class, I said, I kind of get Job pictured in my mind that he's sitting out under, and I just think about an oak tree, and he's sitting out under an oak tree, but the Bible says he's sitting in ashes, and he's just sitting out there, and they show up, and he's got this pottery, and he's just scraping himself all over, and these bulls have broke out, and I mean, he's and no doubt the Bible tells us that he's just nothing but skin and bone at this time, and I mean, he's broke out with bulls, and if he can rest, it's bad dreams, and all these things, but he said, "Though he slay me," in Job 13. So he thinks God's going to kill him. He said, "Yet will I trust him." He said, "God may kill me with this thing, but I'm still going to trust him all the way to the end. I'm going to trust him." How do you live upside? How do you live upright in an upside down world? When your life is falling apart, when your world's turned upside down, you trust God. You just trust God. And that's easy for this preacher to stand up here and say, "Just trust God, trust God, trust God." Job lived upright and faithful through it all. The Lord chose Noah, Daniel, and Job for a reason. Them boys lived upright in an upside down world. Now what about us? We're going to live upright in an upside down world. Would God choose us to build a boat? Think about it. God chose Noah to build that boat. If we got put in captivity, would we choose to live for God? Like Daniel did. Purpose in your heart to live for God. How about when our world turns upside down? Our world, our immediate world, when it turns upside down, we're going to live for God. You better choose now, friend, what you're going to do. Because it's a coming. If it ain't already here, it's a coming. But how to live upright in an upside down world. Let's bow our heads this morning. Cross the house as we stand at our feet. Why should you keep your head bowed while you stand? It's just a little music, son. Listen. I know I've been been long this morning. I understand that. I know that. But I wanted you to get it because listen. Listen, our world is so upside down. Somebody's going to have to live upright in it. And that's us. Somebody's got to let the light shine. Somebody's got to point to Jesus. Somebody's got to just by their life let Christ be seen in them. So, preacher, it's getting tough. Listen, all these men needed help. All these men needed prayer. All these men need to stay faithful to God. You do too. If you need to come and pray this morning, I encourage you to come. I encourage you to come and pray to find help and find faith. Some's come, how about you? You need to come pray. Lord, need strength to make it through these times. Need strength, Lord, to keep my mind right, my heart right. If you've never been saved, friend, you can't live upright in the upside down world. You're in the upside down world. Listen, Christ Jesus, the Lord loves you and died for you. Gave His life at Calvary and took your sin so that you don't have to die in sin. If you need to come, want to come, I beg of you to come this morning.